So nowadays, we are definitely seeing a lot more movements, calls for change, a lot more protest happening in our society, whether that be in relation to race, gender, any other socioeconomic factors that we have present in society today. Now, this podcast is not really to speak about that. This podcast is to speak about the involvement of children in these movements, in these initiatives. And I've been thinking about this a lot, especially during the time of all the mass protests in relation to the George Floyd killing and other murders that happened subsequently. And I wanted to have a conversation with one of my good friends who I find very intellectual, you know, someone whose voice I admire myself. And I wanted to get her thoughts, especially because she is an educator herself, just to explore this a bit more. You know, are there any effects of children being involved in activism? What does that look like? What does that mean? What happens when they grow up, if anything does happen? So I would like you to have a listen to the conversation we had and stick till the end, because I asked on my social media a few questions which some of you gave your input, and I'd like to include that in today's podcast as well. So yes, we had this conversation a few months ago, and I think it's definitely still relevant today and will be relevant for a while to come now. So I start off by first asking her about her childhood, you know, if there was anything that impacts or affects or influences the way her mentality is today. And then we went from there. So hope you enjoy our conversation. Have a listen and follow me on, or connect with me on, all my social media platforms at Different Voice X. And I'll speak to you soon. Here we go.
So as a child, I was pretty sheltered. My parents made sure to kind of shield me from all the wrongs and maybe even rights of society. So I didn't really have, you know, much of an opinion on anything. I couldn't even listen to hip hop or R&B. My parents were very religious. So, you know, I do have a religious background now. Whether I understood the Catholicism and all of the sacraments that I had to do or not, I mean, that's, I didn't at that age. Mm-hmm. But obviously when I got older, I kind of strayed away from the religion. I just didn't understand it. But then I actually came back into it and realized, oh, hey, this isn't so bad. But I am a believer in God and Christ and mm-hmm. all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, a lot of my religion or a lot of, you know, my belief in God has shaped the way I think about things, the way I view society, mm-hmm. You know, why I speak out on the things that I do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, even if you don't have like a biblical or Christian backing on these viewpoints, I do think that, you know, our voices especially are important to make sure that, you know, society doesn't, all of society doesn't run off this cliff that we're headed towards. That's pretty much, I don't have much to say about my childhood. I didn't really go through much. Mm-hmm.
I feel nowadays that statement you've just made, for example, I didn't go through much, it's like so boring for people. It's like people always yeah. want a story, or they want yeah. you know, a drama or hype. And when, you know, they're simple, when they have like, you know, very normal lives, you know. And why mm-hmm. am I saying that? We see that mirrored in the music industry a lot. You know, we mm-hmm. have, for example, the new artists, maybe the new female pop star or whatever. They're so normal, let's say this word, you know, and then 2 years later, you know, they're the most extreme, outrageous, raw, and so right. on and so forth. And then that's when they get all the praise and all the attention. So it's mm-hmm. like, children and young people are looking at these people saying, well, when I'm, you know, just normal and do my things, and actually no one pays attention to me, so yeah. how raw can I be, how crazy can I be? And I feel every generation is trying to outdo the previous generation just to get that right. extra, that, you know, there's nothing wrong with normal, and you know, there's nothing wrong with doing things that, you know, have been done for centuries and getting on with things. You know, people don't always have to be the one to make a statement or to make a movement or to make a change, which is what I want to focus on today. Because just looking at the dictionary of what an activist is, it says a person who campaigns to bring about political or social change. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this in the first place is because I saw a doll on Amazon on sale. I don't know if I should bait out Amazon, but whatever. And it was a doll holding a speakerphone and a sign saying, yeah, kids' voices matter.
Okay.
And it was called the Kid Activist Doll. Cute black dolls for boys.
Interesting.
Girls. Doll on a mission for a six-year-old and up. You know, cute black doll inspired by real-life kid activists, and they said the name of the child. And it got me thinking, why, and how are children, how are we expecting them, and why are we giving them that, I will use the word responsibility, of trying to campaign to bring about political and social change? What are your thoughts?
This is very interesting. I just feel like, so first of all, I've never come across that doll before, but it needs to be thrown in the trash. you know, I think that we all know that children do this thing to us as adults. They're cute. Everything they do is cute. Everything they do is, you know, like, oh, you know, I love looking at them. I love listening to them. They, you know, they have a voice. Okay, fine. And I think people use that sort of pull that children have on us to kind of pull at the heartstrings. And I think it's a form of manipulation, to be quite honest. I don't think children should have. Now, here's the thing. We've heard of children that, you know, have bake sales and raise money for, oh, you know, my school needs books. I'm going to raise money for this. Or, you know, one of my classmates is sick. I heard a child my age is sick. Let's try to raise money for them. I think that's fine. That is beautiful. But I think people conflate those random acts of kindness and think, oh, let's take it a step further and be like, okay, since they're doing this, they're definitely ready for being the change for climate change or it's called climate emergency now, apparently.
All right.
But for, you know, helping children, raising awareness for child, you know, youth transitioning or whatever they call it. You know, these kind of social issues that I just don't think children need to be involved in. I think, you know, adults know that they can use children as these sort of shields. If we use these kids, then they can't, and if people want to disagree or want to, you know, do some kind of backlash, I think, well, if we place these kids in front of the movement, they can't do anything. They can't say anything because why are they kids? And, you know, that annoys me because it's like, why are we allowing or saying that kids should have the solutions to these very adult problems?
Yeah.
We are the ones that caused these problems to exist in the first place. Mm-hmm. And we're expecting, you know, these minors, these impressionable minds, to all of a sudden be the change and have the solutions for things that we caused. I think it's absolutely, it's abuse, in my opinion. And some people might feel like I'm being a little extreme, but you know, I tried to Google, like, okay, effects of child activism. Couldn't find anything. But we know that there will be effects. I feel like, low-key, they're trying to just breed the next generation of radicals.
Yes.
And the fact that people are not seeing this, I get it. Like, kids can do these very innocent things and, again, do the bake sales and do the fundraisers and all that good stuff. But then we know as human beings that we have an unhealthy relationship with moderation. There's no way that we allow kids to do those very innocent things and not think, oh, we can do more. We can capitalize on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the problem lies. Like, I really don't think children, now I'm not, when I say children, I'm not talking about 16, 17, you know, 18 year olds, you know, they at that age, I think, can understand and comprehend, hopefully have developed the critical thinking skills to make those decisions for themselves, to be able to go into whatever activism that they choose. Mm-hmm. But when I see 6 and 7 year olds with posters saying Black Lives Matter, or saying my body, my choice, or saying I can't breathe. Like, are you kidding me? Why are you putting that kind of onus and responsibility on children? They don't know what these things mean, right?
Exactly.
They do not know what you, they like, and if they do, they only have the limited understanding of what you as the parent told them, instead of facilitating a conversation. And of course, I'm gonna want my children to agree with me and be on my side when it comes to certain things. But, like, I do want to make sure that, you know, that they ask questions, that they, you know, feel like they can question some authority and have, be able to have that choice and volition to make their own decisions. And if, but I would never be like, okay, you want to vote for this person, or you want to do this particular, you want to be a part of this particular cause.
Mm-hmm.
I would never be like, okay, let's go do it. I'm not, why?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm not bringing you to a rally or a protest, or I don't care if you, God forbid something happens at the protest. What am I going to do? That's my fault that I brought them into that situation in the first place. So, you know, for me, I know it's an unpopular opinion. I know that we think kids are cute and quite useful, you know, to these causes, but I mean, people really do need to think about the effects that it could have on children indefinitely. You know, fortunately for me, my parents didn't really care about any of that kind of stuff. You know, I never grew up around that kind of thing where, you know, I knew people that went to protests and stood up for certain things. And to me, not going to a protest doesn't mean that you don't support something.
Exactly.
Right. You know, there are plenty of things I support and I don't go to, I just don't go to the protest. Right. But I just feel like back to your earlier point about what, you know, there's nothing wrong with being normal.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with just having a regular child
mm-hmm.
that just wants to do regular things.
Yeah.
That you don't have to put them on this pedestal. You don't have to put a speakerphone in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to. As I was like doing some research, I saw this kid activist website where they made t-shirts that said, ready for my Fauci ouchie. Ready for my Fauci ouchie. And and this is what I'm saying. It's the manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the manipulation for me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why? First of all, we already know that this virus, and not to go into the virus, I won't go into it too much.
Yeah.
You know, there are studies that have shown that it doesn't really harm or affect children that,
yeah.
you know, as much as it does, you know, older adults.
Yeah.
So making a shirt that says that's exclusively for children, saying that they're ready for their Fauci ouchie, to me is, I mean, you're playing into an agenda here. And, you know, I won't speak on that again, but I just feel like things like that don't need to be done. And this was, the shirts were actually, I guess a little girl, she drew the picture, she did the art for the shirts, and they just kind of put it on the shirts. And I'm just like, see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, and then, if there's backlash of any kind, who is it going to fall on? Well, of course, they'll blame the parents. I would never blame the kid, because I'm pretty sure it wasn't the kid's idea. Hey, mom, I want to sell these shirts.
Well, no, you know? Because like you said, children are children. And I think if that could be the takeaway of anything that I'm saying today or they're saying today, I hope it's that children are children. And
right
nowadays society is trying to make children not be children,
be children
by any means,
in so many ways,
in so many subtle and so many overt ways. And one of the ways is this, one of the ways is all these laws I'm seeing in your country and also here in the UK as well, about trying to get children to transition, you know, their gender and things like that, which is a very adult permanent thing.
Decision.
And exactly. And that's the word, decision, you know. Parents should be making the decisions for their children, because children don't have the full mental, emotional, psychological capacity to make such permanent,
right,
potentially permanent decisions. Children can't even decide what their mom, well, some children can, you know, what to eat for dinner, for example, if you know what I mean.
They can't even decide what to wear to school.
Well, that's my point. I mean, they can, but I mean, in terms of going to buy the clothes on their own or going to buy the food and making the food, they can't do that. They have to depend on someone, right? Mm-hmm. So why are we then taking away this dependence when it comes to very serious matters? You know, the minds of our children, of the children of society, is just being tainted in various ways. I personally don't agree with children going to protests. I just don't. Like you said, doing bake sales, charity sales, whatever, that's a small community, you know, interpersonal thing. Now, we are talking about political and social change. Ask any child, right, you know, what the ins and outs of politics are. Adults don't even know, and yet you're dragging children along. And it's
that's also a very good point.
Exactly. And it's not even in relation to politics. I'm being honest with you, I've spoken to many people on many different topics, and I know for a fact that they don't fully appreciate or understand exactly what they're fighting for, why they're fighting for. Let's take the thing of Black Lives Matter, for example. Mm. Let's say an innocent, you know, or genuine white woman, for example, and because that's what also inspired me to look into this more, because the woman was saying that she wants to educate her child. I hate this word, educate, so
I hate it.
But anyway, but anyway, she wanted to educate her child about the plights of Black people. And mm-hmm. that's my problem. If what are you telling your child? Do you fully understand what the issue is? Because if you're going to repeat the same talking points that you heard some influencers say, then you're doing wrong. Because actually, you have some Black people like myself and yourself that saying actually the real issue and the real reason that many Black people are in certain places socioeconomically is not just due to racism. There are certain biases that still exist. There's discrimination that exists in many areas of society from all directions, by the way. So yes, this is my time to say that this whole notion that Black people can't be racist is, for me personally,
absurd.
It's just stupid, you know. Biases and discrimination exist from any angle. So
what are you teaching your
children? Are you teaching your children in a way that then they look at a Black person and automatically feel and think different? Well, you don't understand the issue properly. So this is my problem with trying to get children into these movements and social justice, you know, campaigns that aren't really fit for its purpose. It's fit for the people it's trying to enrich, but it's not fit and it's not going to be able to solve the real issues at play in society. And just one more reason why I don't think kids should be, you know, there's something you said that you were very sheltered, you know, mm-hmm. as a child. And even from right things, I'm sure you were joking. But I've made this point as well before about myself. I wasn't necessarily sheltered, but my parents didn't go on about all the injustices they face and about all the injustices in life.
Right.
So I had a very pleasant childhood, because my childhood was filled with explorations and exploring and wonder and curiosity and being naive, all the basic elements of that a child should possess. You know, I wasn't waking up thinking about all the bad people and you know, but children nowadays, it's really sad and it's really unfortunate, because they're literally growing up constantly being reminded about everything that's wrong in this world. And that's not fair on them, because you will find out when you're older.
Yeah.
So why not take those early years to really be a child, you know? And what if we I asked what effects, you know, that would be. We've seen the effects. Because they didn't have a proper childhood, because they were, you know, being introduced to very adult things at a very young age. So what happens when they become adults? They want their childhood back, and then they become children again. And that's why you're seeing big children running around doing things that, instead of doing things the proper way, following proper processes and things like that, they're acting very immaturely because they didn't have the chance to mature in the first place, you know?
Right. I saw something on Twitter the other day, and I thought it was very interesting. I don't know how true it is, but it says something to the effect of, like, when you stay at the age in which you experienced your first trauma.
Amazing. Wow.
So, like, even if obviously you're going to get older, but your emotional intelligence stays at the age that you experienced that trauma. So if parents, you know, start looking at it like that, because obviously some parents aren't thinking, oh, if I expose my children to protests, or, you know, what I'm going to say is, I'm not saying that parents shouldn't tell their children about what is going on around them. That is not what I'm saying. I mean, if you are going to choose to do that, you need to be very delicate with it. You need to, you know, have all of the facts from all ends, not just the lens that you want to give them. But again, like, if you're going to tell them about the plight, and I'm doing air quotes here, y'all can't see me, but if you're going to tell your children about the plight of Black Americans, or Black people in general, you know, you should also tell them about the successes of Black people as well.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's so many examples of how successful, and being a successful Black person obviously does not negate how, you know, the trials that we go through as Black people. Like, I can count myself as pretty successful, but that, you know, that doesn't mean that I don't go through, you know, my own bouts of sadness, and, you know, I don't go through things, you know, very negative things, right? So if you're going to do that, you know, do it responsibly. But, you know, if you're going to just keep it one-sided, if you're going to just keep it very narrow-minded when you're telling your kids these things, I mean, what are you going to expect for them? How are you going to expect for them to behave if, you know, they do decide to put themselves, you decide as a parent to put them in those kind of situations, and then something traumatic happens to them. You have to understand, like, what you are, you contributed to that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Even though what do people love to say? Hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
The way to hell is paved with good intentions. You are being well-meaning as a parent, you're being intentional as a parent, but you also have to understand that some good intentions do have bad outcomes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can ever be on the side of advocating for child or kid activism. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not speaking about 15, 16. I mean, even some of them, like, because let me speak on that for a bit, because I do feel like, you know, when you're a teenager, and every teenager has been through this phase, you do have the need to belong to something, right? You do have, you fear this, like, social alienation. I know that I went through my antisocial phase, so I'm probably, like, I don't know, different, but there are teens that do have to have this sense of belonging. And sometimes they will attach themselves to social issues, to certain people, to things that they don't even understand, just because they want to belong. And in that sense, they are, you know, probably causing themselves trauma, because you're putting yourself in the line of fire without even fully understanding what you're getting yourself into. It's so sad, you know, because this is our fault. I mean, I'm a millennial. I mean, I don't have kids, so I can't really blame myself personally. But, you know, the what's the generation before millennium?
Oh, don't ask me. I can't. I have
but
no idea.
I think our parents, right? I think that's our parent. I don't. I mean, and I have to be honest. Like, my parents weren't that forthcoming with information with me. We didn't really talk about our feelings like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was one of those teens that was like, well, I didn't care to belong. I just did my own thing. But you know, I could see how teens, you know, they will attach themselves to a transgender issue. They will attach themselves to, oh, let's legalize weed. They'll attach themselves to, oh, climate change. They'll attach themselves to anything to feel that belonging, right? Mm-hmm. And essentially cause themselves this unnecessary trauma because they need to belong. And we have to recognize that. So yeah, we're talking about these little bitty kids, right? But I don't want to neglect the older, you know, children, because they themselves can suffer from this kid activism as well. And it's not fair, you know, I've heard, I haven't read, that the mind doesn't really fully develop until, what, 24, 26? My numbers might be off. And you know, it's so funny how society is so selective with what they think kids can and cannot do.
Yeah.
Kids can, you know, they're trying, in America here, there's a group trying to lower the voting age to 16. But then you had Kamala Harris a couple years ago saying that the 18 to 24 demographic group is stupid.
Wow.
Right? So it's just like, can y'all make up your minds? Like, okay, kids aren't old enough to vote. They're not old enough to smoke. They're not old enough to drink. They're not really old enough to drive, but they're old enough to change their gender.
Wow.
They're old enough to make that decision. Like, look, by all means, live your life. But I'm not here to, I can pass judgment, but I'm not here to do that. I care about the kids. And, you know, like we said earlier, there's so many things that are trying to age kids more than they should be, right? Trying to, and it's funny, a lot of adults now, they're like wishing, oh my God, I wish I could go back to being a child. Okay, but if you have these children that grow up as adults, essentially, what are they going to wish to go back to, right?
Exactly.
If they were already doing all of these adult things,
mm-hmm.
when they were supposed to be, like, let's normalize kids being kids, please, for the sake of us, because at the end of the day, people forget these kids that we are raising right now, are going to take care of us one day. They're going to be the future doctors, the future lawyers, the future teachers, the future activists. Let me just throw that in there. They are essentially going to be taking care of us. And if we are not doing right by them as the adult, as the shepherd, right? As the people that are supposed to be guiding them in the right direction, then we are essentially killing ourselves. Because if we're just going to raise a bunch of radicals, I mean, last time I checked, radicals don't really want to take care of anyone. You know, they don't. Radicals don't want to be doctors. Radicals don't want to be police officers. Radicals don't want to be lawyers. They don't want to be teachers. They don't want to be anything that should be helping or does aid in helping the community.
Radicals, in my opinion, I don't know whether it's right or wrong, but I'm going to say it because I actually was thinking about this today. Radicals don't like things with structure, in my opinion. When I think of a radical, I think of someone who doesn't like anything that has like
lines.
Yes, or conventional structure, shall I say. And which is why their three most favorite words of a radical is abolish, dismantle, and break down.
Mm-hmm.
Abolish, what can we abolish? What can be dismantled? The police or the nuclear family? What can we break down? The British monarchy is under attack right now. Anything with structure. And, you know, I don't want to, or I'm not going to be here to defend institutions, but I'm here to defend structure.
You right.
know, we can talk about the structure. We can see what improvements need to, but stop talking about, you know, breaking down and dismantling. You know, I said today, and many people didn't like it, but that's fine. But anyone that wants to dismantle the police, and we've all said this, I've seen it around, anyone who wants to dismantle the police shouldn't have access to the police service, in my opinion, because that's unfair. You know, they have no appreciation for the police, because a lot of things that I'm seeing, especially, I know a lot of mess in America, you know, in terms of, I know there's problems with the policing, but I think it's two ways. I think we have to speak about both things. There's no point asking police to always have better training, where there's this deep-rooted culture of hatred. That's the word I'm going to use. Hatred against the police. And it's deeper than the police for me. It's authority. You know, that's when people ask me all the time, and I'm sure in your conversations you get asked, or you will get asked, well, why is your mentality so different? Or why is the mentality of, you know, certain African demographic different?
Because we're African.
Well, one thing
you're not black, you're African, so it doesn't matter. That's what they'll say. That's what they always say. But go ahead.
I know it's a bit of an overgeneralization, but it is a very distinct observation I've made. I was born in Nigeria, obviously, and one of the biggest differences I see is this appreciation for authority in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Whether it be your parents, you do not talk.
Absolutely.
You just don't. You know, teachers, you know, in my school in Nigeria, we used to call our teachers auntie and uncle.
Yep.
You know, I remember when I first came to England and my classmate was calling Tom or Jane. I was like, what the hell are you doing?
I know.
You can't call them by their first name. You know, just little things like that. I'm not saying this is how it needs to be here or in the US or whatever, but that is a difference I see. And if you keep going back to the kid activists and always trying to have kids having something to be, angry about, or what can we change, and always on the defense. Have you noticed? What happens when you're an activist, you know?
Yes, you're like, always on the defense.
It's a reactionary way of living, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Something happens, how can I react? You know, and that's not the best way to live life. We have to learn how to step back and think, what are all the ways and all the possible outcomes, not just how can I react? Because reaction is emotional, and emotional is fleeting. The way you feel today won't be the way you feel tomorrow. That's why kids or adults today are a mess, you know? So we need to go back to thought and thinking and boundaries and learning how to really respect each other.
Respond using our critical thinking skills. I mean, I know a lot of people love to say, I like to say it too, where are the critical thinking skills? But they are absolutely necessary. I think there is an agenda in these schools to dumb down. I've noticed, because I didn't mention this before, but I am an educator.
Oh, nice.
And I've noticed in the schools, we focus, I'm not saying emotions are not important, because we know that emotional intelligence is something that everybody to some degree needs, right? I'm not saying it's not important, but I have noticed a very big shift in focusing on feelings and emotions rather than actual academics, right? Everything in the school now is about how you feel, and, you know, what are you experiencing? Can you name your emotion for me? Again, that's fine, because I do feel like children do need to be able to self-regulate and control their emotions at times. But I also do think that they should be able to feel the fullest extent of their emotion, because if they don't do it now, they'll, you know, blow up in their adulthood. But this shift on wanting to feel I'm like, you do realize you do not have to, I've said this before, you do not have to, you know, accept every invitation into provocation. They're now, you know, I had a professional development the other day, and it was for the teachers, and they were like, we have to learn to be interrupters. And I'm like, I don't want to have to, like, look, if I see a bias, if I see someone calling someone out of their name, if I see someone making a microaggressional a statement, I honestly, I don't feel the need to have to interrupt every single time. Like, that's just not how I'm built. You know, do you know how crazy I would get, or just people would get, if they had to feel the need to intervene or interrupt every single disagreement? I mean, that's craziness. So, like, and this is it trickling down to students. We had another discussion on bullying. Oh my God, this is so interesting. We had a discussion on bullying, and so there's this thing called a bully circle, and it's like the spectrum for white identities, and I know you major on the Black identity spectrum.
Yeah.
So they have a bully circle. But I want to call it a bully spectrum. Yeah. So it goes from the bully, and they're like, I think 7 or 8 identities. And it goes from the bully to the person being bullied. And in between, there's like the defender, I wish I could pull it up. But basically, there are some individuals that see the bullying and kind of let it happen. There are individuals that see the bullying, want to act but don't do anything.
Oh, wow.
They're in. And then they explicitly tell us we're not labeling any of these kids, because these are kids they're talking about. We're not labeling any of these kids. We're labeling the action, right? And I'm like, how is this not creating radicals? Like, you're basically telling, because when I was younger, I told you I love the shelter, very sheltered life. If I saw bullying, I minded my own damn business. Like, right? Especially as an African, because you know, I'm not trying to be the next subject, bullying subject. I'm gonna mind my business, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, why would I want to? It's kind of like if you see a fight, are you gonna jump in the fight? Like, you're probably gonna be nosy and spectate, but you're not gonna like go and jump into the fight. Or, I mean, obviously, like, if it's your friend, you'll feel the need to defend them. I'm not saying that, you know, if someone is being bullied that they shouldn't be defended, but like, you're basically this circle, this bully circle, and everyone should, you know, look at it, Google it. Maybe I can give it to you as a reference to share.
Yeah.
It basically makes, to me, it's meant to make the spectators of the bullying feel guilty, to kind of cajole them into having to intervene. And I just feel like this, in the grand scheme of things, and it might be a stretch, I think this kind of thing creates radicals. It puts people, like you said earlier, on the defense. And if you're always going, like, obviously all the teachers are like, oh my goodness, this is so good to know. Like, I'm gonna take this into my classroom and do this and that. And I'm like, I'm looking at everybody like, we are literally breeding the next generation of radicals with this. Wow. Like, I don't, and to me, I think this kind of fits into the kid activism narrative, because I just feel like, why can't we just have kids that don't intervene? Like, what's wrong with that? Like, I didn't intervene, and I think I turned out great.
Yeah.
You do not have to, great, relative, right? You don't have to. And to make kids feel guilty for not interrupting, not intervening, it's madness to me. It's like, we're not even respecting, you know, the kid. Like, we have shy kids, right? We have kids that don't have the confidence to, you know, feel like they should respond or react. We have kids like myself that didn't want to be the subject of the bullying themselves. So to me, it's like, are we gonna neglect those kids? Are we gonna, you are gonna have kids that feel like, okay, I'm gonna defend my friend, or I'm gonna defend this person, even if I don't know them. You will have kids, but you also have other kids that are not gonna do that, and that should be fine. The one thing with this bullying, the whole seminar that I noticed, was that it was always, the victim was always someone from the LGBTQ alphabet community. It was always a Black person, right? It was never like, because I wanted so badly to ask. I'm like, okay, so what if the victim is white? What if the victim is someone that doesn't really subscribe to, you know, like, what do we do in that instance? Can, are they allowed to be protected as well? Like, what, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Like, I really wanted, but I didn't, I knew I was in the minority there, so I didn't want to stir that pot. I, that's not my fight, and I knew everybody would be looking at me like, where are you going with this? But you know, people really need to realize, like, grace should be afforded on both sides. Like, even if, yes, the bully might be a white supremacist, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, but the bully could, the person being bullied could be a white person that just doesn't, loves everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Are we not allowed to defend someone because of their race? Are we not allowed to defend someone because of their views that just happen to not be a part of the majority consensus? Like, I hate what they're doing to kids these days with all of this jargon and nonsense. It's like, you know, one scenario that they brought up in the discussion was, it was a white three-year-old saying, are you black because your skin is made of chocolate milk? You know, okay, so for me, my thoughts were, okay, that's kind of cute that they thought that,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we know chocolate milk is brown.
Yeah.
It's a very innocent thought to have. I mean, to me, that's a great conversation about curiosity, right? But of course, they made it about race. Like, they were like, well, you know, we could definitely just talk about, like, why people, I mean, of course, you can have that conversation about why some people's skin is more melanated than others, mm-hmm. but we don't need to make it a race thing.
Yeah.
It was a very innocent statement.
Yeah.
Oh, your chocolate milk. Yeah, that's a, if it were me, I would have thought, oh my god, great connection. Let's talk about that a little bit more, mm-hmm. right? But of course, everything's about race now. Everything. I want to give the perspective from an, you know, being an educator, that this kid activism thing, it is subtly being dispersed to students in schools.
Yeah.
They're not, of course, going to label it that. They're not going to do that at all. That's why they're calling it this bully circle thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to label it kid activism, because of course parents are going to be like, huh, what?
Exactly.
You about to do what? But they're going to do it in ways where, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know what it's called, but you know how they say, like, pro-choice or progressivism or, you know, these nice words that really mean something nefarious.
Yeah.
That's how they're doing it in the schools now, and I hate that. I mean, I don't know if I'm the only one that sees it. I don't really talk to my coworkers like that, but I kind of mind my business.
Yeah.
Wow, that kind of went the same thing I'm doing as I did as a child. I'm doing it when I'm older, but yeah, I kind of mind my business, so I don't really know how. You know, we've had discussions as teachers in our own separate groups, so I kind of know where they stand. So. Obviously, I'm the minority, but I do, you know, we do need to, I hope there are teachers listening to this, you know, think beyond what is being told to you, right? Like, a lot of these things that we're seeing in the curricula right now is preparing we're basically breeding child soldiers, right? And again, I don't want to sound that extreme, but that's what we're doing. Because essentially, these are the same kids that grew up to think that they can burn down someone's house, go into someone's neighborhood and say, you need to get the hell out of here because you're gentrifying our community. This is Ireland. I'm like, come on. Like, that started from somewhere. And that somewhere is the schools. And it's only going to get worse if, you know, I still need to muster up the courage to speak out myself. Because, again, like, I'm a baby in this game. But, you know, if more teachers kind of just, you know, begin to start speaking out, maybe something will change, maybe something will, I don't know, but at least be aware that this is what's happening. Like, they're trying to, these different curricula are trying to breed the next generation of radicals. And
yeah,
that's, that was, yeah.
Wow, amazing. So I asked on my Instagram if parents should encourage children to be activists. So I'm going to read some of the responses and I'll get your ideas on some of those. So someone wrote, I think it is good to encourage children to fight for what is right, but activism is not how you do it.
Okay.
Someone else wrote, that's a burden to put on a child. We need to let kids be kids, which is what you said. Let's normalize kids being kids, which I actually don't think that's a bad idea at all. So someone wrote, we should encourage kids to be critical thinkers and let them decide whether or not to be an activist. It's literally what we've been saying. I mean, how do you encourage a child to be a critical thinker when children don't really want to think?
I mean, I think it kind of goes back to what I mentioned before, just facilitating the discussion, right? Like, if you just say, let's just say you just start with a prompt, like, okay, I don't want to use George Floyd, but just anything like that's going on right now in our society. And instead of just maybe telling them this is what's happening, you can just ask them, like, have you heard about this? How do you feel about it? Just start. I mean, that's, to me, it's a very simple question. And, you know, they could say, I don't know. I don't know how to feel. Right? And then you could even side by side do the, I mean, depending on their age, obviously, do the research together. Get on your laptop and just start, you know, Googling things together. Listen to podcasts such as this one, right? Just anything that, and make sure to listen to, get out of that echo chamber and listen to other things besides the main things that you listen to. So if you want to watch CNN, that's great. That's fine. But, you know, if there's an alternative, if there's an alternative viewpoint, you know, try to throw that in there as well so that you make sure that you are as informed as you can be. And also just letting that, and, you know, some kids might feel like, oh, I need to do something about this, right?
Yeah.
Just let them know, look, you're a kid, right? You want to help in your own way. But this is for grown folks, okay? Like, you do not, you can help, look, you can draw me a picture. You can, I don't know, sing a song. You can just you do not need to be, you know, out there. That's not, please. Just letting them know, like, look, there's one day you're going to grow up and you're going to wish you were a child again. Enjoy where you are right now. Like, I know you probably want to do something about it. That's fine. But, you know, I'm your parent. I'm your guardian. I'm your teacher, whatever, you know, you are as an adult, whatever role you play, you know, you do not let us handle it.
Or even like to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders and at least to manage the expectations of the children, at least, because I know activism is not just protesting. I know that there's other elements of it. I am just focusing more on the protests and that kind of physical outreach of of being an activist. And I think if you're going to do that, and if you're going to introduce that to your child, manage your children's expectations. And what do I mean?
Right.
I've never really been to a protest as such, but I can imagine going there, you know, because protest, when you go out there, you give your full energy. So naturally, you know, humans are like that. We want to get back what we give. So if you're giving your full energy, you're hoping that everything changes tomorrow. And that's why, obviously, that there's a lot of frustration, you know, with certain things in the Black community, because they have protested, they've screamed, you know, and made, in their eyes, some things haven't changed. And that is very, very, very frustrating. Now, bring that to a child, you know, that's very unfair. And you're like, we've already covered this, but children are growing up. Well, I've done that. How come it's not changed? I've done that. How come things are
right? Right.
It's just, it's really self-destructive, and it's not a way. You know, we're talking about how to be critical thinkers. Then that they're going to carry this behavior in every aspect of their adult life. Well, I've done this. Why hasn't it changed? Well, I've done that.
Right. But
we know that life's not like that. Unfortunately, life is unfair. So instead of, I've done this, why hasn't it changed? How about, I've done this, I've given my strength, my energy, my mentality, it's not changed. Okay, what's the best I can make out of the situation? And that's two very different ways of looking at things, you know?
Right.
contrary to what many people say, no, that doesn't mean that you're settling and you're just giving up. It means that it's actually a very mature way of saying, actually, what can I do with what I have, and not
right.
what can't I do with what I don't have, if that makes sense. So
I like that.
We have to be careful with our children. And yeah, so kids haven't even figured out where they stand in issues. They shouldn't be used to push adult beliefs, right? Maybe if it's to do with, you know, things in relation to children, like really, like not talking about trafficking and things like that. I mean, things related, I don't know what could it be, you know?
Child sickness, like child cancer.
Yeah, things like this, I can understand. But deep, you know, we know what.
There's a difference between, you know, wanting to help, you know, a child with cancer and wanting to change how, they're two very different things. I mean, one is obviously, you know, you're genuinely trying to help. And I'm not going to sit here and say that the other side isn't genuinely trying to help their, you know, people either, but it's a different scope. Like you're delving into political, to me, spiritual activities there. And I just don't think children need to be involved in that. They just don't. And another thing I wanted to say, I'm like, when we think about kid activism, do kids really, if you bring them into the mix, do they really convince people more to join the cause, to fight for the cause? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, we have to look at the end result, because obviously a lot of these problems are still from decades ago are still persisting. So if you bring children into the mix, does it help what you were saying before, like these problems are still here? So does it really help to bring children to introduce children at all? To me, you're just setting them up for trauma. We said that, but also heartbreak, because this is something that, oh, they really wanted to happen. They grow up and they're like still fighting, like, you know, and they wasted their whole life because they were fighting for something that, you know, some people just don't have, you know, there are forces bigger than us that really want a resolution, right, to a lot of these problems. And you're just setting kids up to just be fighting and losing sleep, energy, time. They could have been dedicated to actual, you know, things that could have benefited their lives and other people, and they're wasting their time fighting for things that will probably never even happen. So it's really sad. Please don't do it to your kids, people.
Well, there you go. So thank you so much. This was actually, it was so good, because I think we, hopefully if people really, you know, listen to what we're saying, it's not just about kid activists. We even covered adults, you know, and things that adults feel and think today, and you know, it's all in one. So where can people find you? I know you have your own podcast, you know, you're doing great things. So
I do, so I do have a podcast. It's called By As A Wine. I don't know, hopefully a different voice will type that out for us, because
of course
it's probably going to be a little hard to spell, but it's By As A Wine, the podcast. It's on all podcast platforms. And I also have my Instagram account by the same name, By As A Wine, and another Instagram account by called My Name As A Wine. So
what can we find when we connect with you? What are you about?
My platforms are pretty much speaking to the self and just self-improvement, growth. You know, I try to, you know, I curate, you know, advice that I try to take myself, and I share it with, you know, social media. And it's just, you know, speaking to us trying to be better human beings, because if we work on ourselves and, you know, we improve ourselves, then we improve the greater collective, we improve society, because it does start with making sure that we're good. If we're good, then we can help other people attain that goodness. So that's what you'll find there. I am a little harsh. Some people think I'm harsh. I don't care. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to have people like myself and different voice here to kind of give it to you straight. I mean, there's no, you know, I'm tired of the coddling, to be quite honest. You know, I'm tired of, you know, everybody trying to mince words and walk on eggshells. You know, we need to be able to be straight with each other. We need to be able to constructively criticize each other, hold each other accountable, no matter what race you are, what, you know, denomination, religious, I don't care. Yeah. We need to be able to be, you know, see the mistakes that we make and grow from them. So that's what you'll find there. Yeah. And support my girl, Different Voice. She's doing her thing. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. She's such an inspiration. I love her. I mean, I know we just started, you know, contacting each other and communicating with each other, but I love, love, love what you are doing. A lot of people do not have the balls to do what you do. So please keep it up. Do not let anyone deter you from this path that you're on, because everybody, everybody needs to hear it. I don't care if you think you're racist or not. I don't care what, again, I don't care what you are. You need to hear what she has to say. She has some good things to say, and we can all learn from her. So thank you so much for this platform and everything that you do.
I didn't pay you to say that, did I?
She didn't. She didn't.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate it. And I'm glad for everyone that listened to this today. Like I said, connect with us. Connect with me as well, because as always, I will be doing my usual questions. You can chip in. You can, you know, add your own opinions, because like I said, this platform, my platform, is really to encourage that. I don't care if you agree with me or not. That's what I want. It's not, we don't need an agreeable culture. We need a culture that's able to disagree and get on. Yep. And that's the fact of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you like this podcast, please share it. Please share it with your friends. Connect with me, as I said, and I will talk to you all soon. Take care.